cold plunge, salt room, and red light therapy. Thanks to guys like Joe Rogan and podcasts in general, like Andrew Huberman, those services have exploded. But we've kind of been here for the last 15 years championing these things. And these are the things you would have had for recovery if you were a high level athlete. And now it's kind of like, here, these are available for just the average person, like the person that wants to make sure that they're energized to go out and play pickleball, or they're energized to go out to their kids' soccer practice and those types of things.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Brian DeMint, who's the owner of Salt and Light Wellness, the head of marketing at the Orange Pill app, and the author of two Bitcoin-related books. We're going to be talking about all of that in today's interview, which runs a little bit longer than usual, so I want to hop right into it, but not before we have this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight. And this week, it's my meetup, the Jackson, Mississippi Bitcoiners. Join the Jackson, Mississippi Bitcoiners for their halving party on April 20th from 12 to 4 p.m. at the Bellhaven Town Center, aka BTC in Jackson, Mississippi. Come out to experience live music by John Hart and friends, local food trucks, and Bitcoin activities for the whole family. If you can't make it for the party, join the meetup for their monthly gathering every second Thursday of the month at 5:15 p.m. You can find out more about the Jackson, Mississippi Bitcoiners on Twitter at JXNMissBitcoin or on their meetup page. You can find those links down in the show notes, along with the link to the Oshi app, which you can use to find a Bitcoin meetup near you. Now, we're going to get to our interview with Brian right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Josh, thanks for having me, brother.
So I'd like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. Are you ready for these?
Let's do it.
Question number one is this: when and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
So saw or heard the words Bitcoin. It was probably 2012 or early 2013, something like that. And I'm sure you can look it up because it was kind of a well-known event. I never watched college football. I just happened to be watching Saturday college football, some random Saturday. And there before the game, when they do the pregame, they have the announcer standing on the sideline like, okay, what is Smith going to do? What is Johnson? You know, they're talking about the pregame stuff. And in the background, they have all the college students. Well, there was a kid or a college student holding up a sign that said, "Hey, mom, send Bitcoin." And he had a QR code on it. And I just remember that was the first time I'd ever heard or seen the words Bitcoin. Nobody on the broadcast talked about it. Nothing. It was just in the background. A few days later, I was like, oh, I wonder what was that all about? And I went to it. It was probably a Reddit forum post or something like that. And it turns out that was like the most sensational thing that had happened in Bitcoin, because at that time, Bitcoin wasn't getting like any mainstream press or anything like that. And so all the Bitcoiners were saying, "We're on ESPN. This is huge." And it's like, it wasn't being featured on ESPN. It was just a random sign in the background. It turns out this kid at the time, I hope he held it. He probably didn't. But I think he got something like $26,000 worth of Bitcoin sent to him because all the Bitcoiners were just scanning the QR code and sending him Bitcoin. Supposedly the kid got a bunch of Bitcoin from it. So that was in 2012, 2013 dollars. And I don't know if that was at the peak of, in a bull market peak, if that was when Bitcoin was $1,000 or something like that. But either way, even at its most expensive, he would have gotten like 23 Bitcoin from that sign. And I remember that was the first time I heard it. And that was actually what caused some of my skepticism. I remember being very skeptical about Bitcoin at that time, thinking it was very dorky, nerdy, this is gimmicky. So it wasn't till probably a year later that I had done a deep dive and kind of my skepticism was reversed.
Very interesting. So question number two is, what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
I think that I wish that they understood how profound the digital scarcity element is. That was the part that it was probably the third or fourth time that I heard it. It's like good advertising. You need to see a good ad seven times or a brand seven times before you interact with that company. And I think that's the same thing with Bitcoin. For me, I think I'd probably heard it three or four times about the digital scarcity. It was when Andreas Antonopoulos, and I think I'd even bought a little bit of Bitcoin at this time. I was starting to kind of like have the orange pill, feeling. But where it really stuck out to me was, yeah, when Andreas Antonopoulos was talking on Joe Rogan, I think it was the first time he was on there. And he said that what was so profound about Bitcoin was, and I'd heard Bitcoiners say, talk about solving the double spend problem and things like that. But when you just say the double spend problem, it's like, what does that mean? Okay, you can't spend something twice. Why? Of course you can't spend something twice. But what he was saying was, that when things go from analog to digital, there's always a massive disruption, and you could never have digital money until the advent of Bitcoin. We needed to find a way to cap digital money. He goes, because look back at the record industry or the music industry. When records were analog, the music producers had a great way to cap the supply of music. You had to buy a CD or a record or a tape or whatever it was. There was a physical restraint to the supply of music. But then once MP3s came along and Napster and LimeWire and all those types of platforms came along, it demonetized most of the music industry. Like the digital representation of music, because anybody could share it, download it for free. You could copy it endlessly. And so that took almost all of the monetary value out of music because it was no longer scarce. And so we could never have money that was digital until you found a way to make it scarce. That was when Andreas Antonopoulos framed it that way, it was like, oh, this is profound. It was like humanity was prevented from moving forward in the digital age of money until we had a way to do this. And that was like the framing I needed to really make the light bulb go off.
And the scarcity element still blows my mind. Like, so once or twice people have pushed the question back on me, and I always go back to the scarcity. Like every time, and I remember when I was younger thinking, trying to like conceptualize infinity, and every time I thought I had it figured out, I'd realize that I wasn't any closer to figuring out than I had been, 5 minutes earlier, right? Which is kind of about the time span that when I was 10 years old I was thinking about infinity. But just the raw scarcity of Bitcoin blows my mind. And we're having this conversation the day that Saylor has announced a MicroStrategy has officially gotten more than 1% of the entire supply. And that is also incredible. But just having an asset that is truly scarce, where you can't go to the ground and dig out more, no matter how much you want, just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's a very profound thing. And we have a hard time grasping finite supplies of things. Like it goes beyond scarcity. It's finite. Gold is scarce, right? We kind of think we know how much there is, but we would really be surprised, I'm sure, if we hit some giant pocket the size of Texas underground that was full of gold. Or, we always say an asteroid crashes into the planet and it's full of gold, right? Like we think we have, and I'm sure in the universe, I don't know if the universe is continuously expanding and creating more gold or whatever, but if it is, then there's an endless supply of all minerals, all gold, all kind of elements in the universe are expanding infinitely. And again, I don't know if that's true or not. That's a scientific theory, but that's kind of the prevailing scientific theory. And so all elements could be scarce, but there's an expanding currently it's scarce, but 5 seconds from now its supply is increased. Bitcoin is finite. It's the only other thing besides the days of our lives that are like absolutely numbered. Now, we don't know how many days of our lives are numbered. Like, we don't know what that number is, but that's part of what makes Bitcoin so kind of profound. So I start to think about money in terms of generational now. I start to think about, wow, my life is very uncertain. I just flew out to Portugal for Bitcoin Atlantis. But like, you never know what could happen on a flight or when you're traveling abroad or anything like that. So all the uncertainty that comes along with being a father, and I have young kids, they're all 10 and under. Like my family is very dependent on my survival. Like I'm not that concerned about my life other than the fact that I need to provide and protect my children. Mm-hmm. And now the uncertainty of my days on this planet, if I'm pricing everything in dollars, which is also uncertain, I have two variables that are very shaky. But when I start to price my future in something that's finite, that I have an absolute knowledge of what it's going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I know that if I pass on 1,000,000 sats to my children, or however many sats you pass on to your children, I know, just like you were talking about Michael Saylor having 1% of the supply, I know that I'm passing on some portion of the total supply of Bitcoin to the next generation. If I pass on dollars, I'm passing on uncertainty. And that's a nice check. Bitcoin is a nice check on the uncertainty of the days of our lives, which is scarce, but I don't know how many there are. Bitcoin is the only other thing that's truly scarce or finite, but I do know how many there are. So it provides a little sustainability, a little reliability in my future planning for my family or even for my own finances. But I particularly think about it in terms of my children.
Great thoughts. Question number three, and I'm guessing you're going to be a little biased here, but what is the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
Yeah, I mean, we build resources for a living. So I think that we are going to be biased towards those. Well, let me start with one that I'm not biased towards. I think that companies like Swan and River are like really cool Bitcoin exchanges. The Bitcoin Well, I actually have never interacted with the Bitcoin Well, but I know that these Bitcoin companies that are exchanges where you buy Bitcoin, like some of them, you can't even sell Bitcoin back into them. But they promote self-custody. So as far as like, I get so many people that are asking now, and I'm sure you're the same way. So many people are asking, how do I get started in Bitcoin? What's the first step? Is just like buy a little bit of Bitcoin. I think we overlook the exchange itself. Like when I for years, for the last two bull runs, I sent everybody to Coinbase. And now I kind of regret that, you know, because they inevitably get into altcoins and they go down all sorts of rabbit holes and things like that, like I did as well. And so I think that a great resource is a good exchange. So do your homework on a great exchange if you're a Bitcoiner, and find one that you like working with that has good fundamentals and good Bitcoin only principles, and start sending people there. So that's one of the often overlooked things. So, but as far as Bitcoin resources that I like, I really, you know, the Orange Pill app is a critical piece of the social infrastructure for Bitcoin. I think it's really important, and I don't think it's just me, but I think a lot of Bitcoiners, this is why the company exists. The market's proving it, that Bitcoiners want to connect with other Bitcoiners, and talking to other Bitcoiners on Zoom like this is fine. Or, you know, we're not on Zoom, but you know, over a video call is fine. You know, talking to people on Noster or Twitter, those are cool. Those are cool interactions. But what is really missing in the Bitcoin community is person-to-person connections. That's why I think Bitcoin conferences are so big, but those are infrequent. They're expensive. So Bitcoin meetups and Bitcoin one-on-one connections are vitally important. So that's why the Orange Pill app exists. If you don't have a community in Bitcoin, it makes it very difficult. The bear market, which will eventually come again, is so much more tolerable when you have Bitcoin friends that are holding you accountable, that are, you know, it's easy to be diamond handed when you have other friends who are diamond handed, and when you know them, and when you went and got coffee with them last week and you saw the conviction in their eyes, and you saw the care and the compassion, and you guys aren't just talking about the Bitcoin price. You're talking about all the wonderful things that's happening in Bitcoin and how you're orange pilling your local community. There's a group of Riverside. I live in Riverside, California. There's a group of Riverside Bitcoiners who I don't even know other than being on Orange Pill app, who are trying to orange pill coffee shops around me. And one of the coffee shops is my friend's coffee shop. I know the guy who owns it, but it's so cool to see other Bitcoiners in my community trying to orange pill these people. So community is so important in Bitcoin. And then obviously, like I wrote this book called Bitcoin Evangelism. If you need a kind of a resource, it's great for new coiners or no coiners, but it's really written for the Bitcoiner who has a hard time articulating Bitcoin to their friends. Like, how do I, as a new Bitcoiner or even experienced Bitcoiner, but I can never effectively orange pill people. There's tips and tricks and like easy to grasp arguments for how to explain things that can be kind of complicated. But how do you explain it to, whether it's your grandma who's a gold bug and like doesn't like technology, or how do you explain it to your friend who's a freedom maximalist and they're like total free speech advocate, but they don't quite get Bitcoin? That should be one of the primary people to be orange pilled and mm-hmm. should want free money. And it's a shame how many people, I go to freedom conferences and I speak at these places, and it's crazy how many or how few people that are advocates of freedom and freedom of speech, freedom of the press and all those things, but they don't understand Bitcoin. And I think that's one of our big fields of battle right now.
Yeah. One interesting thing to kind of expand on that point, you may or may not have anything to add to it after I say this, but it's so interesting to me that people who are philosophically aligned with Bitcoin that see the need for more sovereignty, things like that. They may not articulate it quite that way, but it's like they're primed for Bitcoin. And they almost want to just find all the ways that it could possibly fail. And usually these are critiques that have already been responded to by Bitcoiners and things like that. But it's just like people almost don't want there to be a solution. Yeah. It bothers me so much. Like people are so ready for Bitcoin, but they don't want to take that step to actually get what they would like to have.
And that's a great point. It's actually really insightful. I see that. I mean, when you point that out, and I don't think I've ever identified that before, but I think a lot of my friends who are big advocates of freedom, they like to complain and they don't like solutions. And that's really unfortunate. That's a small, I say a lot of them. I can think of a few. I think that's what I'm thinking of. I can think of a few people who are like that. I'd say another portion of them do want solutions, but, it's a shame that they could be so right on a topic and yet so wrong on the remedy to it.
So question number four, we're getting outside of Bitcoin for this. Beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or one of the many projects you've been working on recently?
You know what? I'm trying to find the book. So in my business, you can see my hat, Salt and Light. Well, in one of our businesses, my oldest business, we started it in 2008, my wife and I, right when we were out of college. So we just passed our 15-year anniversary of the business. But I'm reading a book. It was recommended to me actually by Mateo from the founder of Orange Pill App. It's a great book on marketing, and it just kind of reframes how we should think about our marketing as a brand. And the greatest brands of all time, they don't position themselves as the heroes of the journey. I believe the book is called Building a Story Brand. So if anybody that's looking for a great marketing book, have you read that book before?
Yeah. I've listened to it, which I feel like sometimes I don't quite get as much, but I get through it a whole lot faster. Yeah. So it's, you know, whatever.
I count listening to it as reading. I mean, I feel like we always feel guilty. Like, oh, I listened to it. It's like, you basically the same thing. But yeah, I think it's a great concept. And I think we should do this. This is a great tip for Orange Pilling. This is a great tip for building your business, for your marketing. It applies to Salt and Light. It applies to Orange Pill App. It applies to Orange Pilling people. We need to position people as the hero of the story as opposed to ourselves. I mean, we do this, like when we're orange pilling somebody, we want to be, I'm the shining knight and I'm going to come in and I'm going to show you the path to freedom and prosperity and transforming your generational wealth and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, realistically, this person, they're the hero of their story. Mm-hmm. And when another hero comes along, they're like, oh, that's great. You're a hero. I'm on my own quest. That's cool for you, but I'm doing my own thing. What we really need to do is come along. Like they're the Luke Skywalker and we're the Yoda. We're like the Obi-Wan Kenobi. Mm-hmm. And we're just the guide, right? Like we've been there and we've done that. We have experience. We have authority to speak on the issue. But they're the one that's on this journey. And I find so often that, especially in the past, when I would try to orange pill somebody or when I would try to pitch my business or whatever it was, I wanted them to think how great I was, because if I showed out how great I was, they would want to come along like, mm-hmm. Oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. So I'm going to do whatever he says. I'm going to listen to what he says. That's not how people think. It's different when you're a celebrity, right? Like if a celebrity says something and they endorse a product, but we're not celebrities. We don't have that kind of charisma or that kind of clout in this person's mind. And so we need to really focus on them being the center of their story. At the end of the day, everybody that opts out of fiatum and into Bitcoin, or they opt out for Salt and Light, anybody that opts out of kind of the fiat medical system, the fiat health, the old way of doing things, the food pyramid of our diet and those types of things, and they opt into new and fresh and innovative, more holistic ways of treating their health, like that's empowering to that person. Like I don't need to make that story about me. And so I think, that we've spent so much time focusing on ourselves as the heroes when in fact that person is the center of the story. They're the center of their story, and we need to act accordingly.
And that mindset shift is so helpful. And it, our default, you know, we are the hero of our stories, just our perspective in life. You know, we have our perspective, but to remember that whenever you're going to someone else, you're there to serve them. You're there to help them along their way, help them to achieve their goals. Putting yourself in that guide position is so powerful. Yeah. So thanks for bringing that out. I don't know if someone has recommended that in the past or not, but it's a very powerful book. And just that concept alone can revolutionize a business and your approach to other people.
And real quick on that, I mean, I was thinking about this last night is the way that the author of the story of the book frames it. It's like, man, if every business, and so in the other book I just wrote, it's called Parallel, for anybody in your audience that doesn't know. And it's really a pitch for the parallel Bitcoin economy. And so I've been thinking through this parallel economy a lot. And if more businesses adopted this kind of strategy of putting their customers front and center, that makes for more healthy businesses. It's not a zero-sum game. It's not like if other businesses start to adopt good business strategies, that's somehow going to take away from me. No, I want as many businesses in my economy, which, you know, whether it's in my local economy or whether it's in the Bitcoin economy, I want as many businesses as possible practicing healthy business practices, right? Practicing healthy business strategies, taking care of their customers, exalting the customer, making customer service front and center. Because when you hold, it's going back to what we talked about earlier, when you hold a finite money supply like Bitcoin, what happens when wealth isn't the amount of money in your society. Wealth is the amount of goods, services, technologies, all those things. As those things increase and you have a fixed money supply, every unit of currency becomes more valuable because the wealth of that society is growing. Your money, there's only 21 million of them. So each piece of that money that you have grows as anybody makes a technological innovation, as anybody's company grows, as anybody in that economy becomes more successful, everybody's money becomes more valuable. It's a really revolutionary way to do things. It's like fiat really screwed up how economies work. It really, really did. And I think it's not going to be until a generation into the parallel economy that we see how important it is to champion other businesses to do better. Because when their balance sheet grows, when their profitability grows, your savings will actually increase in value because of the work of other companies. It's going to be a revolutionary idea. We've never experienced anything like it just because central figures have always wanted to scrape some off the top. And so we've never gotten to see these benefits, but it's going to be a really, really beautiful thing for an economy to flourish this way.
Well, now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question, and it's this. As a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
Man, you really stumped me here. I'm just going to go with why. I think that maybe I've just always defaulted to why, but I think the act of having somebody explain it to me in the positive is usually been pretty helpful, but yeah, I don't know. I guess I've never considered the why not. So maybe that's my shortcoming there.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out. Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at veluscommerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. All right. So, Brian, we're here today to talk about your business, Salt and Light Wellness. We're going to be talking about everything else you're doing as well. We've already touched on it a little bit. The cool thing is, I since interviewing Mateo probably a little over a year ago, quickly after hopping off that interview, maybe even before the interview when we were just talking beforehand, I became a lifetime member of Orange Pill App. Big fan of it. We don't have a ton of people in the kind of the central Mississippi area on the app yet. I imagine that will change in the future, but it's just so cool to be able to, you know, if you're in an airport, you can open up the app, see who else is around who might be a Bitcoiner if you have a long layover. That type of stuff is really valuable. So big fan of that. Recently, you've added this merchant element where people can, you know, promote their businesses on the Orange Pill app. Mm-hmm. And I was reaching out to a number of businesses. I've interviewed some of them already for the podcast, but I reached out to Salt and Light Wellness and you said, hey, it's Brian. We've been talking already. And so it's just kind of cool to have that connection. I had no idea that it was you, but here we are today. I'd been wanting to talk to you anyway. So it's a great fit. First of all, if you would share with us a little bit about Salt and Light Wellness and kind of what you guys are doing in that business.
Yeah. So we, like I said, we've been around since 2008. And we essentially, like, the services that we've been doing in the last couple of years have just gotten mainstream attention, and it's been awesome for business. So we've always done ultraviolet vitamin D sunbeds. Like, that's something that we've always done. We've always done red light therapy. Sunbeds were popular, you know, for people for tanning, which that wasn't our primary use for them. We would do it for people who are supplementing their vitamin D. But you would inevitably get, like, the lady who's like, I'm going on vacation and I want to come and use a sunbed. We're like, okay, that's fine. But then we'd also do red light therapy. So light, different forms of light affect our bodies in different ways. And it's obviously, we know that sunlight does that, UV light does that, but a lot of people aren't familiar with things like red light therapy, where sunlight stimulates the melanocyte in your skin. It's a cell in the skin that produces color, produces melanin. Red light therapy, it stimulates something called the fibroblast in your skin, and that stimulates collagen production. So it actually aids in the repair of cellular tissue. So if people have scarring, if they have skin conditions like eczema, acne, those types of things, it's really helpful in the repair of damaged skin. We also do infrared saunas. So everything that red light therapy does, it's a longer wavelength. So it actually penetrates through the skin. It doesn't help the skin. What it does is it helps internally. So if you have torn muscles, if you're recovering, it's great for detox. When you sweat normally, like if you went out and you played, you know, basketball or something like that, and you sweat, your sweat has 2-3% toxins in it. I mean, it's kind of gross to think about, but that's one of the ways that our body gets rid of toxins. Mm-hmm. But your normal sweat has about 2-3% of toxins in it. When you do an infrared sauna, the sweat that comes out, it's called a cellular detoxification. It's actually pulling toxins out of your cells. It's not just in your excess water that it's pulling toxins out of. It's actually pulling it from the cells. So you have 19-21% toxins in the sweat that comes out of an infrared sauna sweat. So you're sweating, about twice as much, you know, almost 10 times as much toxin out when you do an infrared sauna. So for people we have all sorts of women who are coming in for issues with, like, hormonal issues or fertility issues. One of the main reasons people, young ladies have fertility issues is because they've had all sorts of medications and all sorts of contaminants from their environment, their water, their air, and all sorts of stuff like that. And it makes it very difficult for them to have children. We've had so many women who, after a 6-month regimen of particular diet, exercise, and then detoxification cycles, that have, you know, children now. And it's a really cool thing to be a part of that process. We also do cold plunges. We do salt rooms, and which cold plunge, salt room, and red light therapy, thanks to guys like Joe Rogan and podcasts in general, like mm-hmm. Andrew Huberman, those services have exploded. But we've kind of been here for the last 15 years championing these things. And I always use cold plunge. I'm a former MMA fighter. I still compete in competitive Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournaments and things like that. I've always used cold plunge ice baths for my recovery. And I just thought that was kind of like standard protocol, but now it's become cool for like the middle-aged mom to do it just for her own recovery and that sort of thing too. So we have a lot of athletes, but we also have a lot of just regular people who are looking to be more fit and healthy in their daily lives. The things that we have are kind of what your college team room used to have if you were a Division I athlete. These are the things you would have had for recovery if you were a high-level athlete. And now it's kind of like, here, these are available for just the average person, like the person that wants to make sure that they're, you know, energized to go out and play pickleball, or they're energized to go out to their kids' soccer practice and those types of things. So we have three locations in the Inland Empire in Southern California. We have two licensed locations coming on the way, and then we have a fourth location of ours that's going to be built in a nearby city here. So we should have about six or seven locations in the next 18 months, which we're really looking forward to.
That's awesome. And so, you know, if people aren't in your area of California, what would you recommend kind of on a level of importance as far as the services go, but also the level of affordability for people to look into for themselves? You know, if they're near you, they can pay the one-time fee, the monthly fee, and have it all taken care of. But as you're sharing some of these things, a lot of Bitcoiners are thinking longer term. They're caring about their health. They're realizing that the official recommendations may not be what gets them to that level of health that they're looking for. So of the services you provide, what do you see as the most important, and the ones that the average person or Bitcoiners are most can most easily incorporate into their lives?
Yeah. So just the cheapest and most efficient. And we even suggest this to our customers, natural sunlight. Go out and get natural sunlight. Like ours is it's the same thing. It's the same wavelengths as outside. There's nothing different about it. They're these very high tech ultraviolet units, but it's free outside. We live in Southern California where like there's sunshine that's plentiful. Unfortunately, a lot of our customers live indoor, or they work indoors. So they're indoors all day. And so maybe they can come on their lunch break. Maybe they can come after work when it's not sunny out. But at least on the weekend, try to get out on Saturday and Sunday and try to expose as much of your skin as you can to natural sunlight midday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Is when you get that. Early in the morning, you actually get infrared light. That's why in the morning and in the evening, you kind of see an oranger sky. It's because you're actually getting more of the infrared. So the atmosphere is filtering out most of the UV, but you're still getting hit with infrared light. So if you want infrared light exposure, you go out earlier in the morning and you expose your skin to sunlight, which can be kind of colder. And then in the evening, you can do the same thing. So you can actually get these services for free outside. It just takes a little bit of knowledge of when to do it and how to do it. And again, living in a location that where that's available. If you go to a place where you're like, I want to find a better sunbed that's not like the old school ones, find one that has, just ask the place if they have electronic ballast. There's all sorts of technology that goes into these things, but that's probably the easiest question to ask. If these sunbeds have electronic ballast, they're probably going to be a little bit better. They're probably going to be a little bit safer to use. And then, you know, try to find places that have red light therapy. Red light therapy is probably the next lowest hanging fruit because more places have those nowadays. And you know, but the number one would be sunshine. Like I'll just come back to that. The vitamin D, appropriate levels of vitamin D are associated with the lowest risks of all cause mortality. Proper vitamin D levels are associated with lower risk of cancer, lower risk of diabetes, lower risk of osteoporosis, lower risk of all sorts of things that ail people as they get older. Even things like colds and flus, you get over them much quicker and you're much more resilient to them when you have high levels of vitamin D. So whether it's for your kids or your family, I mean, it's sad how we're coming out of a generation of the medical industry where they told us to put on sunscreen to walk to the car. They told us to cover up, don't ever get exposed to sunlight because you're going to get skin cancer. Actually, melanoma, which is the most deadly form of skin cancer, if you look at any of the studies, it's most highly correlated to people who live indoors and work indoors. Like, it's not associated with sun exposure. The lowest rates of melanoma are among outdoor workers, like construction workers, people that work outdoors have the lowest rates of melanoma. So it's definitely not associated with sun exposure. It could be associated with sun burning. We do want to avoid sun burning. But when you're consistently exposing yourself to moderate sunlight, that's how you properly elevate your vitamin D while mitigating any other kind of risks. So I think sunshine's the one catch-all that everybody can get some sort of exposure to, whether it's indoors or it's naturally outside.
When it comes to like consumer grade red light therapy, is there anything available to people? And obviously like consumer grade is still probably going to be kind of expensive, but do you have brands that you recommend if people are interested in checking it out for themselves? Or is it better to get that from some sort of spa?
Yeah, no, you can find consumer grade legitimate red lamps. Yeah, there's most of the companies, like if you Google red light service companies, I did this the other day. I was just kind of seeing what's out there, what people are buying, if they're just doing it for home use. I think the top 10 things that popped up on Google when I just Googled at home red light therapy, they were all legitimate. I looked into the diet, you know, the LEDs and the power of them. Like, you essentially, there's nothing special really about these red light units other than they're putting out proper lumens of red lights. And so, look at the consumer reviews on the website if you're going to buy one of them, and the customer feedback on the top 10 things that I looked up. I stopped looking after 10, but if you look at the top 10 brands on there, and I don't have a vested interest in that because none of that money is going to me, we're not affiliated with any of those brands, but the top 10 searches on red light on Google were absolutely strong. My wife actually has one of the at home units. It's by that one's not by Sunline. I forget actually her at home unit, but I've seen other friends and family have similar at home units and they have amazing results with it. Just kind of as an anecdotal story, my wife had, we had three biological children. After our third, she had a condition called diastasis recti. It's where it's very common for pregnant women, where their abs essentially separate. Instead of being joined here in the middle, there's like a gap. And so, my wife's very fit, she's very healthy, but it looked like she always kind of had a belly and it didn't matter how much weight she lost. It's because her abs were literally separated and kind of protruding out. The doctors said, you know, kind of the mainstream fiat doctors, I guess, for lack of a better term, they said that the only option was to put a mesh implant in there, which is also dangerous because it could rupture or tear things. Every 10 years, it probably needs to get changed out because they can have problems and stuff. But that was their only solution. And they're like, you're still never going to be able to lift anything heavy because that could rupture it and all sorts of things. There's all sorts of problems. Like, nothing about this solution that they were offering sounded good other than it was going to cosmetically fix her abs. And so she had started looking into like how much infrared light would I need to do in order to fix this? We were already in the industry. But just exposing the red lights, obviously not going to make your abs grow back, right? Like, that's absurd. So we got one of these at home units. She does, you know, she would daily do it in our store, but then at nighttime, if we were, you know, settling down, watching TV or something like that, she would expose herself to this red light. She also did it's called abs, core and pelvic floor routine daily. And over the course of 6 months, she would see inch by inch, her abs would actually fuse back together and they're back in place now. So the combination of physical therapy and infrared light and red light exposure actually helped fuse these things back into place where they're supposed to be. Every night when she was doing it, she would say, it's crazy what light can do. She would say it's seriously amazing what light can do. And she would always say that. It was just like this baffling thing. Like, I can't believe I'm seeing them like every couple months, they're like closer together. And that's actually the official catchphrase of our company now. It's amazing what light can do. It's because she was literally on the couch every night saying, this is wild. Like, this is fixing my problem that I thought was never going to have a solution.
Wow, that's really cool. So could you share a little bit more about your new book, Parallel, what people can expect and where they can get it when it's released? Because I think I saw it. Is it released now? Is it like actually in print now?
We released an exclusive like early edition of it at Bitcoin Atlantis, which, you know, those people are kind of early readers of it. There's going to be, it's been edited professionally multiple times, but I guarantee they're going to find typos and things like that. So we're in the process of still clearing it up. It's the full release date is on the Bitcoin halving. So we'll find out in that last 2 week difficulty adjustment of when the actual release date was. We have it kind of pre-sale launched, ready to go on April 16th, but it probably is going to be closer to the 19th or 20th. Mm-hmm. But people can go on and pre-order the book right now on Amazon. It's like the number one trending book in its category for the pre-launch, which is awesome. But Parallels, it's simply the case for the parallel Bitcoin economy. I mean, it's really that simple. The first chapter of the book we cover, we're really in this, in this phase. It's a perfect storm of perfect storms. I mean, for anybody that's familiar with the fourth turning, like we're in the middle of the fourth turning, right? We're in the middle of a confluence of there's a 250 year cycle. Ray Dalio talks about this. He talks about the 250 year political cycle, the 80 year financial cycle, and then the 50 year technological cycle. Usually those cycles happen at different times. All three of those cycles are converging right now. And each time those things flip-flop, they flip-flop or they waffle between centralization and decentralization. Well, right now, we're waffling back towards decentralization in all three of those categories. We're also seeing three things that are present anytime there's a paradigm shift. Paradigm shifts only happen when there's a will for change, a social layer to connect those people, because you could have a million people that want change, but if they don't know each other and they're not connected, then change doesn't happen. So there needs to be a will for change, a social layer to connect those people, and then a technological innovation that enables those people to compete with the status quo, the establishment. And we see that. We go over historical references to that, like the Reformation. You know, there was a will for change, and then there was a church movement behind it after Martin Luther like nails the 95 Theses to the Catholic Church. And then there was the advent of the printing press, which had happened 50 years earlier. And so now, because Bibles were much more widely distributed, the Reformation happened. And so you see a split between the Protestant and the Catholic Church, and it completely decentralized the church model. The church had become very centralized under the Catholic Church and became decentralized after that. And so we go through some of those historical examples of these ebbs and flows, and we're actually in the middle of probably the craziest perfect storm of perfect storms humanity's ever seen. And we're seeing a convergence towards decentralization. We have Bitcoin, and we have a massive will for change around the world. And so we're at this really important time of history where everybody has the chance to participate in this new economy that's never existed before. We've never been able to have a worldwide parallel economy that enables people to opt out of the existing system. And so the book covers, you know, kind of the tyranny of the existing system, but it has a very optimistic approach of how we can take step-by-step actions to contribute to the parallel economy. You don't need to go entirely on a Bitcoin standard today in order to make the parallel economy happen. You just need to find little ways to opt out of the existing system. And step one, most people probably watching this show have done that. They've bought Bitcoin, right? Every sat that you buy is one vote against the central bank, right? You're voting for Bitcoin. You're voting against the central bank. Every vote you make, and we call these votes, right? It's like elections. You might think they matter. You might think they don't matter, but elections in the market, what you do with your money, your time and attention is the most powerful vote that you can cast. And every sat that you buy, again, is an opt-out, is a vote out of the existing system. Every sat that you spend is also a vote out of the fiat economy. It's a vote towards the Bitcoin parallel economy. And so it gives you a pretty optimistic approach of how to build this thing step by step in a reasonable and manageable way, as opposed to just taking on more than we can handle.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you sharing those thoughts. You know, one thing that stuck out to me, and then we can wrap up here, but just the idea of like recognizing that we're in a tough spot here, but we have the tools to fix it. It's a very Bitcoiner mindset. It's like things aren't looking great now, but we can kind of see around the corner that we're getting to a better spot. So sounds like very, very much aligned with the Bitcoin ethos, which I'm not surprised at all about. Do you have any final thoughts to share as we're wrapping things up, as well as where you'd like for people to go to, you know, keep up with you in any number of ways that they can based off of today's interview?
Yeah, well, if somebody has a business that accepts Bitcoin, please go to the orangepillapp.com or actually orangepillapp.com/merchants and register your business there. I mean, we're really trying to build out a network of businesses who accept Bitcoin so that when Bitcoiners open Orange Pill App, they can find like, hey, there's a taco shop down the street, or there's a wellness studio down the street where I can go and spend my Bitcoin. And even if you're not a business or you're not like a brick and mortar business, you can still register an Orange Pill App account. And if you're a, you know, Bitcoin lawyer or you're just a lawyer who also happens to accept Bitcoin or whatever you do in the fiat world, somebody's willing to pay you Bitcoin for that exact same thing. And so just put in your profile that like, yeah, I'm a lawyer, but I also accept Bitcoin. We've hired lawyers through, that's why I just keep saying lawyer, because we've hired a lawyer through Orange Pill App. So it's just like, that's how you develop this circular economy or the parallel economy, is just by putting yourself out there. Maybe it's going to be 6 weeks until somebody, you know, if you're a graphic designer, maybe it's going to be 6 weeks before somebody pays you in Bitcoin to develop a logo or something for them. That's fine. That's just one little step. Now you can say you're officially a Bitcoin graphic designer because you've accepted Bitcoin for a gig. Find something that you can either buy in Bitcoin or find something that you can sell in Bitcoin. Either side of that equation takes a big step towards this process of hyper Bitcoinization. And if you're in a place where you're just, you're still trying to orange pill friends and family, Bitcoin Evangelism, it's on Amazon. It's a really good resource to help with that. If you want to pay in sats for it, because Amazon doesn't accept sats, you reach out to me through Orange Pill App. We have copies available that we sell in Bitcoin. Bitcoin is preferred. So please, by all means, pay in Bitcoin for that. And, you know, for if you're in Southern California and you want to do cold plunge or sunbeds or red light therapy or any of that stuff, stop by Salt and Light Wellness. We have a few locations and we would love to host you. And if you reach out, I'll probably give you complimentary services just so Bitcoiners can come in and try it. But if it's somebody that's in the area and they want to, you know, pay regularly, then we accept Bitcoin as well.
Excellent. Well, Brian, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
All right, my friend. Thank you, Josh.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Brian, you can find those links down in the show notes. And be sure to get out there and get some sunlight. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.